Hello and welcome to Flourish, the wellness podcast for Caribbean women. I'm Narissa Golden, so happy to be back with you. Hey, Sonia.
Hello. Hi, Narissa.
Now, our guest today is Vanessa Farrell. She's an author. She's also a health and wellness coach. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you for having me.
Good. So, Vanessa, I want to just dive right in. How did you get into health and wellness? What's your background that led you to this field?
Well, my name is Vanessa Farrell, and I got my start in health education. I studied health and nutrition sciences in undergrad, and it really led me to a love of health. I really thought I was going to be a nurse, but that didn't happen. And I decided once I was done with my undergrad, which was focused on health education, and I wanted to do something more population-based. So I did a master's degree in community health, which really focused on population health. And after that, I did some postgraduate work with the CDC for 3 years. And then from that, my jobs and everything that I've done has had some type of health and wellness feeling to it.
Right. So now the whole idea of coaching, you know, is still a almost, I want to say almost a modern evolution of lots of the careers. I would say in the last 20 years, 25 years, you've seen coaching as a business has become really big. You know about football coaches, basketball coaches, but now that we can get a coach just in every area of our life is so important. What has been the reaction, I suppose, or the reaction to coaching, health and wellness coaching? Do most people think they need that?
I think people think they need it. They just don't want to pay for it. So that's what I've found. But when I tell people that I am a health coach, I'm a certified health coach from the University of North Carolina, Greensboro, people always say, so do you teach like football coaching? Or they always think that it's something more to do with like football or something in that realm. But no, I focus on health coaching, which is to, you know, give folks that opportunity to really direct their life. I never look at myself as in the driver's seat. The person who comes for the coaching service is always in the driver's seat. With coaching, we're really looking forward. It's not therapy. Therapy, you're looking backward. But when you're thinking about coaching, you're thinking about what are the things you want to do in your life. You want to set goals and you want to figure out what's the best strategy for attaining them. And as a health coach, I'm here to guide. I am here to listen, and I am here to, you know, offer any type of assistance and resources that my person might need.
Now, you're based in the Virgin Islands, although lately you've just been a world traveler. But what's been the demand for your services from women, especially Caribbean women? And in terms of what particular areas do you find a recurring theme?
Yeah. So, I mean, people are not knocking down my door asking me for health coaching. What would happen is that someone might, you know, go to the doctor. I work in partnership with folks who have referrals from doctor's office, so they may need health coaching in a certain area. My focus has been for the past few years is around high blood pressure and how do we learn the skills and the strategies to really better understand how to measure and monitor your high blood pressure and, you know, to talk about heart health issues. As I said, people are not fully receptive, but once they get into the program and they start the process, sometimes people just need accountability. So most of the time they come, they know what it is they're supposed to do because the doctor already gave them a hint, but now they need someone to basically provide some accountability for the things that they need to do in their life. And as a health coach, that's where I would come in.
That's so brilliant, because I think that is probably the secret, is the accountability. We know what to do. It's about sticking to it and just feeling like there's a safe space that you could probably offload. What is it exactly? I didn't do what I was supposed to do today. So that's great. Sonia, let's talk a bit first about, because I know, again, you're in a different area of the medical space. Do you see referrals to coaching as something that's become more the norm than ever in terms of even when it comes to breast health, other sorts of women's health issues? Is that now becoming a trend? You would say that before you give somebody medicine, you're saying, let's try to find you some natural ways to support you in making those lifestyle changes.
I think my experience with health coaching is identical to what Vanessa does. And in fact, we have experience in different workspaces where health coaches are actually employed by health authorities to help sort of like help patients go along their journey of either managing disease processes, as Vanessa just indicated, with hypertension, whether it's cancer related, or even something as simple as weight loss. So lifestyle changes. A lot of times they have better results with a life coach, with a health coach, because the health coach is different from a nurse or a doctor. She's independent or he's independent, and they don't look like medical individuals. They haven't got a white coat on, although some of them do, but the white coat is not there. So you see them as a friend, as even a neighbor or whatever you can talk to. And this has worked really well, in particular in instances like what I'm doing in Montserrat with the breast cancer awareness program, where individuals feel comfortable speaking to people with knowledge in the community that can actually help them to allay their fears, anxieties about breast screening, or having even a simple breast health check. And a life coach or health coach, actually, health coach is essential in these avenues to sort of guide the patient and help them to be less fearful of having something as simple as a breast check done by the doctor or nurse. So I think it's important. And I think that Vanessa has picked a niche area, that's really untapped, especially in the Caribbean. In other countries, there are lots and lots of health coaches, and you see them on the internet all the time. But in our Caribbean setting, they're very far and few. So I'm delighted that we have that connection with Vanessa, and in particular the program like this, where we can introduce health coaching to the community, to the Caribbean community, and to individuals who are thinking, I've seen it, I've heard about it, let's hear more about it. What can it do?
I think that's good because, I think the answer for a long time has just been, let's just put you on some pills. And it's not even, let's go into your garden and find something natural to use. We literally have become a culture of we expect the prescription from the doctor and they're just feeding us a wad of pills. Sometimes when there's a natural version that's in our garden. And most often than not, it's actually just making a lifestyle change that will actually reverse or even help us to manage those situations that are in our life. So Vanessa, I want you to talk to us a bit. The reason that we wanted to talk to you, because this is one of your areas of specialty that you do, is the idea of journaling. Now, I grew up kind of writing a diary and different things. How does journaling different from keeping a diary per se?
Well, it's the same concept. It's the same concept where you're writing things down. I am a trained coach, as a trained journal coach. So I help people with journaling. And what I do is to incorporate journaling into my coaching practice. What I find is that in the past, people will just come and it's like talk therapy. They'll just talk, and they will go off, do what they're supposed to do, and then come back and talk again. But what I find is that when people are given the opportunity to write things down, that things become more real. People feel more accountable. People feel like they need to do it because now it's on paper. For some reason, it kind of upped the ante. So I have incorporated journaling into my practice, and I'm a journaler. I've been journaling for over 32 years. I had an assignment to do on journaling in college, and I never hand in the assignment. I'm still at it. So I encourage people to journal because what I find with journaling, you have that connection of the head, the hand, the heart, all working together. And we know in general, when we write things down, we tend to remember it. So I tell people all the time, we tend to forget the things we need to remember, and we remember the things we need to forget. So journaling is the ideal, simple way of keeping track of the things you need to do in your life.
Talk us through what journaling is, how, if we wanted to add that to our program to improve our wellness, how would we go about doing that?
Right, so journaling is just writing. It's just taking some time out to write stuff down. There are different types of journaling. You can do stream of conscious journaling where you just take 5 minutes and you just write whatever comes to mind. You don't have to think about the spelling or grammar or anything like that. Then you have gratitude journaling. Gratitude journaling is the most common form of journaling where people start is just, what are you grateful for today? And maybe it's just one or two things that you write. Maybe it's the first thing in the morning or the last thing at night before you go to bed. And over time, you'll see all the things that you are grateful for. And then the things that you complain about usually just kind of winnow when you realize you have all these things that you can be grateful for. We have travel journaling. I love travel journaling. And because I know sometimes you travel to amazing places and you go like, oh my God, I know I went someplace, but I can't remember where I went. And it was so, and you want to share that experience with someone, but you can't remember. So I encourage folks when they're traveling to do a travel journal for the time that you are on the road. And then professionals, I encourage folks who are in the professional space, document your journey. What are some of the amazing things, or what are some of the challenges that you've had on your journey to where you are right now? And then there are so many other types of journaling that you can do. A lot of times people say to me, Vanessa, I used to journal, but I don't do it anymore because blah, blah, blah. Most of the time, they said someone read my journal, and from that day, I have not journaled again. Or they said, I don't know what to write. Where do I start? So I will say, just pick any subject, or just, as I said, start journaling from a place of gratitude, and that could also help you. What are the other things that I'll share in a journaling session? I will also have folks do a stream of consciousness journaling. And I find that that's the hardest thing for people to do, to just write what's on your mind. Usually, when you do a stream of consciousness, you can't lift your pen from the paper. You just got to put it down and just keep writing whatever comes to mind. If what comes to mind is, I don't even know what to write, write that down. Just keep going. And people at the end, I'll say, put your pens down, and people will just look at the things that they're writing is like, I don't know where that came from, or I didn't know that was on my mind. So that's this. Then the other thing I would always encourage people do is to write lists. List of things that maybe the things you have to do today, the things for the month. And people are like, I do that all the time. I said, well, you are a journaler. You do bullet journaling, you know? So I was like, so that's what I've been doing. Yes, you write that list, and we love to write. Most of people, I like to write lists. You write that list, and just the satisfaction and the gratitude of checking off the things you have completed. It's so satisfying. But if you do not write that list, it's in your head. And sometimes, like, okay, what did I do today? Did I get this done? So if you're not into writing long things, write that list every day, check it off, and get that, oh, beautiful sensation of gratitude of writing. So just some short tips on journaling and what you can do. As I say, you don't have to do it every day, but just start the practice and you will be amazed. What?
Thank you for that. It's great tips. Pen and paper, or are we talking, is journaling okay if I use my phone? Do you think it has the same impact as if I use a pen and paper?
Well, you know what? I always like the old-fashioned way of journaling. There's nothing wrong with doing it in your phone if that's what the mechanism that you have. I would prefer people to do it than not to do it. But if I had to select the ideal way, it would be pen and paper. And a lot of folks were like, they have lost the art of even writing. People are not writing anymore
True.
because we're so glued to our computers and
Yeah.
smartphones that we've lost the art of writing. And it's so therapeutic to be able to just sit and let your thoughts flow onto the pages. So I encourage the pen and the paper.
That is very true. So how about you give us some ideas of things, a process to help us journal, and maybe there's an incident that happened. Maybe we've just had a therapy session with you about our eating habits. What would be something that you would suggest that that person now goes home and writes about, and how would they go about doing that?
Some people are very averse. They don't want to journal for whatever reason, because they might had experiences when they were younger where someone maybe read their diary or read their journal. So I always like to talk to people about how do you feel about journaling? You know, what does that look like for you? And you know, some people might have some trauma around that whole thing about writing things down and people having to see them. For individuals who may have some trauma around, okay, write it and then you can just dispose of it, or write it and put it in a safe space or a safe place where someone cannot find it. So if someone, say, they come in and they want to talk about their eating habits and they want to start writing things down, I will say get a journal. Or it doesn't have to be a fancy journal, just get a pen and paper, any type of paper, notebook, and start writing. First, I always say put the date, because I think sometimes a blank piece of paper terrifies people. As simple as it sounds, it's like all this space, how do I fill it up? Write the date. I said, write how you're feeling today. You know, is it a good day or is it sunny outside? Things that are factual or things that you can put down on paper. And then I would say, what, you know, what, when you come back and look at this piece of paper, maybe 3 weeks from now, how do you want to feel about this process? And the person might say, well, I want to lose 10 pounds. And I often say, don't go for the destination, just talk about the journey. So I want to feel healthier. I want to be able to fit into my dress. Just things that that's tangible. And then maybe talking about, okay, list one or two concrete steps that you can take towards that outcome. And then as they come in, as we talk, we will go through each one. Okay, how are you doing with this particular goal? Were there any setbacks in those particular goals you were trying to meet? Were there things that you met? And if they said yes, how did you celebrate those wins? I look at areas and places within that documentation where they can document what it is they need to do, look at what those setbacks might be, or if they could foresee things in the future, how do they you mitigate them, and celebrating their wins once they have done that. And I find people get in the groove and they're able to pick up and, you know, carry on beyond a coaching session.
Yeah, I suppose it's almost like it can be feel kind of like you need to go to the gym, and you never some people just aren't motivated to go to the gym, but once the session is done and you've completed it, you're like, yes, I did it.
Yes,
Because you cannot
yes.
you can see you can you of course you feel the adrenaline and the oxytocin. You feel great about it, but then you, and it's also a goal achieved that you can now celebrate. How important do you think that process of celebrating the small wins is for people who are on a health and wellness journey?
I think it's so important, because I think in life as human beings, we want to have those big things happen before we celebrate. And I think celebration is it's a culmination of little things that happen to get to the big things. So if your goal is, I want to be able to lose 10 pounds, or I want to be healthier, and you know, on week number five, you realize, oh, I've lost a pound. Celebrate that, you know, figure out, okay, what did I do this week that helped me get to this particular goal? How can I repeat that process? And I think what happens when people celebrate, they look forward to more celebration, especially if it comes with a tangible reward. So it's like, if I do this, then I'll do that. And some people say, okay, I'm gonna have an ice cream, or you know, because I deprived myself for the last month. So people look forward for those what you call those treats. So I always encourage folks to celebrate the small win, no matter how small it is.
I'm going to challenge you on that there. We were just talking about someone on an eating journey. They've got to change their diet. Do you really think having the ice cream, one, depriving yourself, I suppose using the word deprive as a way to, you know, to explain the process of you trying to change your eating habits? Because I think often we think that way. We think of it as, you know, we're depriving ourselves of something good. And certainly, would that be the reward you'd want to do? It's kind of reverse everything you just did.
I think it's a reverse, because if you are consistently, you know, if someone really enjoy, you know, if it's just a cone once a month because that's their joy, they had to give this up because they were doing it every night. Now they're just doing it once a month. I would never deprive someone of having a treat after they have done an amazing stuff. It would definitely not reverse what they have done for the whole week, because I mean, the quantity of what they're having, I am assume, would not outweigh the good work that they have done. So it's like, never punish yourself. Do what you're doing in moderation. And if you know that that's, because every diet plan I know have what you call like a cheat day. So I think that, you know, depriving people from that will just have them like go over the edge and, you know, do something that's probably not as healthy on an ongoing basis versus waiting for that one time where they can have that sweet treat.
Okay. Sonia, do you have a question for Vanessa? You can jump in at any time.
Certainly. I'm really listening, because I think that Vanessa has a tremendous amount of information to deliver. And I think for those listening, especially for those of us who are in the Caribbean, we know that health coaching is very rare, and we have very few individuals with that particular skill. But where I would like to hear Vanessa share some, maybe not stories, but experiences with us, it's about the journaling or managing fears and anxieties around cancer screening, whether it's breast cancer, cervical cancer, bowel cancer. I think they all fall into the same sort of package. And we don't want to focus on one particular cancer, because it's about attending the screening, understanding why the screening is being done, dealing with the results, and the treatment plan. How do you see health coach, actually, as your role as a health coach, how do you fit into that sort of sphere collectively, regardless of the cancer in question?
Well, I mean, if you mean in terms of having someone journaling their process, or just as a health coach, how do you talk them through that process?
Journaling, keeping a journal. Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, when it comes to, you know, health, I truly believe that folks may not be as, what do you call it, meticulous as others. But my encouragement would be to create some type of place where you can write down what are the important screenings that you should have at your particular age, or as the your gender. So as someone who is a female, you want to make sure that you're having your pap smear. You want to make sure that you're having your mammograms. You want to you make sure that you're having, you know, those things that are related. The men, your prostate cancer screening. So you want to be able to write these things down. Write them down and figure out, okay, what time of the year do I need to have those things? For me, I like to center stuff around pivotal days. So maybe my birthday would be a time, maybe that birthday month, or maybe the month after my birthday, to make sure that I am scheduling all those different screenings. I would ask folks, you know, take some time, get a quiet space, and just write those things down. Once you do that, depends on what it is you're going to be screening for, you want to always track physical symptoms. So you may not be going to the doctor tomorrow, but you're feeling, okay, I don't feel well in such and such an area, or I'm feeling this particular thing in such and such an area. I always encourage folks to track their physical symptoms. So use your journal to track your physical symptoms, any type of lumps or tenderness, changes in breast size, or if you're a male, maybe your frequent urination. So write things down. And the reason why I'm asking folks to do that is because when we get into the doctor's office many times, we tend to forget. We don't remember that we had a pain here or a pain there. Once we're in the room, but once we're out of the doctor's office,
Right.
we have all these things that we are thinking about. So I ask folks to do that. I always ask my clients to document how they're feeling. You know, how are you feeling? What, you know, are there some stressors that you are experiencing? Where sometimes, as a menopausal woman, I have all these things that are happening in my life that I might think it's one thing and it might be another thing. So I want to document those
Yeah.
feelings as well. And then the other thing in terms of emotional support, talk to a trusted friend. A lot of people are scared because they may not want to go to a doctor's appointment. Have a trusted person say, "Hey, I've made an appointment," or keep me accountable for making an appointment for my breast health, for my pap smear, for my prostate, you know, whatever. Ask a trusted friend to remind you. And if it gets to the point where you even have to ask someone to go with you, then
Yes.
do that as well. The other thing I would also ask for folks to do is to reflect on your self-care. Like, what are you doing to take care of yourself as you go through whatever the journey is, whether it's you're going through the screening journey or whether you are going through a post-diagnosis journey. What are the things, what are the techniques that you are using to really manage your stress and to practice some type of self-care? And last but not least, it's about understanding and exploring your body wisdom, I call it. How your body's feeling today. Pay attention to the discomfort, especially post-diagnosis. You're paying attention to what kind of feelings you have, what kind of you know, tenderness in certain areas, just things that may not be normal. You want to always document those things so that when you go to your doctor, you're able to let them know what those feelings are. And last but not least, I said that before, but you want to make sure that you are documenting your doctor's visits and you're staying on top of them. So that's also a form of that journaling practice.
Thank you so much. We have seen in the Caribbean in particular, there is a lack of sort of accountability, and patients are waiting for the doctor to come to them, waiting for the doctor's appointment, which they won't attend or they don't attend, and unless something is wrong. And we see that quite a lot with the cancers. And I was wondering, how do you see a health coach working in the community, alongside clinics, alongside the doctor's visits? Is there a role for health coach in the Caribbean as working either in the health departments or with the hospital or in at the community level? Like we have our community midwives, we have our community nurses.
Yeah, absolutely. The health coach really would act as a liaison for that provider because the provider can't do everything. So
That's
it's
right.
a liaison for the provider as well as an advocate for the client. You know, a lot of times people don't show up for their appointment for several reasons. It could be they just forgot that they had an appointment. Sometimes we don't think about all the other things that are happening in people's life that makes them unavailable or that they can't attend an appointment. Could be transportation issue, could be childcare issue, it could be a plethora of other things. Now, if that person is not going to tell the doctor that they are going through these issues, the doctor will simply say that that patient is non-compliant. Whereas if the patient has a health coach and they're saying, "Listen, I really don't have anyone to leave my child with so I could come. Transportation is an issue. I don't even have change to get on the bus. There's all these other confluence of things that might be happening. And if you have a health coach that could really talk to that person, better understand what's going through, they might be able to alleviate some of those non-adherent issues that some of the patients might be experiencing. So I think the role of a health coach is, it's very broad and it's really to help the patient get to that wellness goal.
Thanks for that, Vanessa. I think that might be one of the ways Caribbean healthcare can evolve is having these outside partners, because we know that for most countries we have challenges with in terms of resource, human resource capacity, and so being able to outsource in a way some of the support services, I think would be a way for us to be able to improve the outcomes for a lot of our people. We know that NCDs are the largest, is the biggest challenge that we have across the region. Just pick a country, it's the same data. And I think having support mechanisms like coaching would be a way for more of our people to be able to manage their health outside of just taking medication, because we know that you can take medication but actually not make the changes in your lifestyle that actually would make that medication either be more effective or in fact eventually, you can live without it. There seems to be this belief that once I start taking diabetes meds, I have to be on it for the rest of my life, versus understanding that with the right changes in your diet, you can actually reverse a lot of the symptoms. So that's wonderful. So if I were looking for a health coach, what would be some of the tips you would give me as to how to decide who would be the best coach for me?
There are health coaches that deals with, they might have a special niche. Some health coaches may just be around physical activity or eating. Someone like myself, lifestyle changes, high blood pressure management. So whatever that issue that you are facing, it might be good if you want to stick in that particular lane. Most health coach in general will be able to help you create SMART goals because that's across the board and help you move towards meeting those goals. For others, you might want, if you're comfortable with someone who looks like you because of the cultural sensitivity and the linguistic part of stuff, if that's important to you, then that might be something that you want to explore. Some people want to go to someone if they're a female, they want to go to a female if they're a male. In general, I would say talk to that person, figure out if that's the lane, the specialty that you want to engage with. But in general, most health coaches would be able to help you look at goals, look at objectives, and help you guide you through the process.
Do you find that women are more open to going to a health coach than men, or is it the other way around?
From what I've seen, more women would come to the services of a health coach. Men, not so much. They will have a one-off conversation, but I think the consistency sometimes kind of taper off. But from what I've seen, it has been more women who are, who are seeking these services. And because, sometimes women are just looking for a safe space to have a conversation, and the health coaching will do that, or someone to solidify what it is they already know they're supposed to do.
That's very true. Often we have inner guidance, and sometimes you don't even know where it's come from, and you're hesitant about stepping out or making this particular change in whatever the activity is. So it's good to know that you can have this on this non-judgmental space that you can go and have the support that you need. That's wonderful. So Vanessa, I know you're an author. We haven't really gotten into that at all. Tell us how we can get to learn more about you, find your books, and you also do coaching virtually. So if we were in a different island or country, we could also tap into your expertise. How would we get in touch with you?
Yeah, so most of the coaching service that I have done have been virtual. Even people here in the Virgin Islands, they would connect online and we'll do it virtually. But if folks are wanting to get in touch with me, I am at vifarrell333 at gmail.com. That's my email address, or at www.vihealthcoaching.com. www.vihealthcoaching.com. And on Facebook, I am Vanessa Farrell. And on Instagram, it's vanessa.farrell.31.
Wonderful.
That's where I
So,
am.
Vanessa, thank you so much for being with us on Flourish today. We just want to thank you for sharing your tips on journaling. You're reminding me, I used to do it. I have not been very consistent. It's something that I used to kind of download every now and again. I think I could benefit from actually doing it more regularly. So I'm going to do my best to pick that up again. So thank you so much for that and sharing your tips with us. And we just wish you the best. And we definitely want to have you back because we need to
Yeah,
talk about the
definitely.
books.
Yes. Yes.
Especially your latest project. Oh, whatever you're going to have on tap, because I know you're a prolific writer as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Vanessa. Thank you
Thank
so much.
you.
I'm thrilled because one of the things we spoke about a while ago is the Caribbean space. And I'm happy to see that the virtual link is there. So I think that individuals listening to the program, they can reach out to you and still gain from your expertise. Because your field, health coaching, is essential to our Caribbean diaspora.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Any final words?
I just want to say thank you for having me. I would love the world to get the world journaling because I know that journaling truly changed life. Journaling is truly a part of the wellness journey. You don't have to do it every day, but just a space to just let out what your feelings are. So thanks again for having me, and we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. We look forward to seeing you again. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to Flourish, the wellness podcast for Caribbean women, produced by Rebel Rock Media Limited, music by Peter Spacey. Discover more at wearerebelrock.com.